good reminder, isn't it? We're in Him and He's in us, and that makes that presence we feel and the fellowship all that more special. And wasn't Thanksgiving Eve wonderful here? Absolutely awesome. The most powerful service we've had all year. And I thought Pastor Rick's sermon was the best Thanksgiving sermon I've ever heard. He didn't pay me to say that. It's the truth. Even if he did give me a hard time about the caricature of King David on there. Yeah, right. Anyway, it was an awesome service. Just awesome. Thanks be to God is right. And it's just it's neat when we come together, as Pastor Rick says, when we have the Latinos and Anglos come together, just like Pentecost all over again. And it is Pentecost, and what happened at Pentecost that brought fire and life and enthusiasm to the church and to faith. The word enthusiasm literally means God inside. So whenever we see somebody who's enthusiastic, it comes from the root word entheos, God inside someone. But what has the world said and the church said about being excited and being full of fire? Oh no, we don't want that. I got reprimanded in seminary. Oh no, they put the fire out. No, no, we don't do that. No, 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 don't get too carried away here. Don't be fanatical. It's okay to be fanatical about your football team, but not about your God. What's wrong with that, right? It's just crazy. But anyway, I have been on this journey with the Holy Spirit, and it's been an amazing journey. Started when I went to retreat when I was 19 years old, coming from a very stiff, very, very rigid church, and going to this retreat and feeling something I'd never experienced before inside, this warmth and this fire. And ever since then, the scriptures became like 3D and multicolor. Everything about Christianity had a whole different meaning. Like Pastor Rick talks about when he took communion, what happened there happened to me in a different setting regarding the Holy Spirit. I go, why didn't anybody tell me about this? And why did they keep this a secret? It's just so much more fun and so much more joy to be a believer than the old way, the rigid way. Oh my goodness, it's night and day. So anyway, today the theme, by the way, Daryl, we haven't talked yet what the theme is. It is gifts for all the children. Because we just had the wonderful Black Friday. Did any of you participate in that? I sure didn't. I did one year. I said, never again. Man, never doing that. I don't care how much money you save. Because it's one thing, you know, to be looking for all these gifts, you know, and who's going to have what. But God has already taken care of our spiritual gifts, and that's what we're going to talk about today, because God has given gifts to every child of God. He's given us spiritual gifts. The problem is a lot of people don't want these gifts. They leave them under the tree and say, well, I really want something else. But the greatest satisfaction, the greatest joy comes from the gifts that God gives. And it's always exciting to open up the box and see what's inside that box. And we go, just for me? And God says, yes, just for you. We'll talk about that later. So we're going to talk today about the spiritual gifts that God has given to all of us. And Paul starts off right off the bat by saying, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. And it was interesting, I was going to mention the scripture lesson that was assigned for today, because in that, Paul had to criticize this church for lots of things, and Pastor Rick's talked about that, right? I mean, come on. Getting drunk at communion? That's pretty bad, right? Incest? That's pretty bad. On and on it goes. Divisions, selfishness, pride. But they did have some things going for them, and Paul was always adept and very good at finding something to praise someone about and to give acknowledgement for the positive. And he knew what that was with this church, and that was spiritual gifts. They didn't have to really be taught about the spiritual gifts, because notice what Paul says here. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He talks about them being enriched in every way because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. And it all starts with God's grace. The word for gifts, spiritual gifts, comes from the word charisma, charis, which is grace. Charismatic, which is a dirty word in some churches, simply means grace-filled gifts, starting with God's grace. Not because we deserve them, right? It's not a badge of honor how spiritual we are. It all comes from God's grace. And He distributes these gifts to people. But to every child, all of us are God's kids, right? Yes. And every child, we've all been given spiritual gifts. And Paul wanted to remind these Corinthians about that. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I wish I had professors in seminary had that same mindset. Way back when I started to be a pastor, I wish they would have said, Perry, we don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts, but it seemed to be the other way. When I went to my folks' church about 3 years ago, and I was going all these different retreats about the Holy Spirit, and the assigned lesson in this very rigid church was this section of Scripture right here. And you could tell the pastor was very uncomfortable having to read this, and he certainly didn't preach on it. It's like, okay, now we read that, let's go on to something else we're more comfortable with. And it's, how sad is it that so many people in the church are uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit? How sad. Can you imagine how the Holy Spirit feels about that? Because He has feelings. He can be grieved. And it's just sad. But thanks be to God that we have the willingness and the openness and the hunger for the gifts without going to the extreme. That's the other thing. I started finding other churches that talked about this chapter. That's all they talked about. They didn't talk about the Lord's Supper. They didn't observe the Lord's Supper. But they talk about miracles every Sunday, prophecy every single Sunday, and all these gifts, and would neglect everything else with God's Word. But Paul addresses every aspect of God's Word, and today happens to be spiritual gifts. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. And today, think about how we and others in the past somehow or other got influenced by the world or other idols, and the American idol of self, right? How did we get where we were in the past? How did people get so addicted when they never would have dreamt they'd be addicted to drugs or alcohol? How did all that happen? Somehow or other, they got influenced, right? And Paul says the same here. Some way or another, you got influenced to be led astray to mute idols. But he says, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No one could come to Christ except by faith by the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther says, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts. Right there in the catechism. But oh no, we didn't want to talk about that. We just put that in parentheses and went on to the next thing. But anyway, we can't come to Christ. We are spiritually dead, blind, dead, and an enemy of God. We're like zombies, living dead people, if we don't have Christ. So it takes the Holy Spirit for us to come to Christ. And people say, I came to know Christ. I accepted Him. I made a decision. No, you didn't. Not really. It's sort of, yes, you did, but yes, you didn't. There is a human aspect of accepting Christ, but ultimately the power comes from God, right? He has to turn the light on in our heart and in our mind to go, oh, okay, now I see, right? Now I see that He can heal, as Kenny found out with his daughter. He does heal today. And on it goes that God is, He is in the house, amen? Amen. He's alive and well. Okay. Now Paul says, now there are different kinds of gifts but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working but the same God works all of them in all men. We're all gifted in different ways, right? We all have gifts. We all have different personalities. Rick Warren talks about having a shape. Spiritual gifts, we'll talk about, H is heart or a passion, A are abilities or talents, P is personality, E are life experiences. We're all shaped in a different way. We all have different spiritual gifts. We all have different passions, different talents and abilities, different types of personality, different types of life experiences. You put all that together, and that's how God has wired you and blessed you. And so you can have the same spiritual gift for one person, and it'll show up in a different way with someone that has a different personality. So that's what Paul is saying here. There are different kinds of gifts that we'll talk about later, but it's all the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service. The word there is diakonos, for ministry. You can have two different people have different personalities but the same spiritual gift and have different ways of ministering. One may feel more comfortable going to the jail. Someone feels more comfortable going back there with the kids. They might have the same spiritual gift of teaching, but it shows itself in a different way. Does that make sense? Okay. And then you have someone who has different life experiences. They've been in the jail. They can relate better. Someone's been addicted. They can relate better to that person and use their personality, their spiritual gifts, their talents in that way. So God doesn't put us in a cookie cutter mold and say we all need to say the same, all act the same way. No, we're all different. And God rejoices in that kind of diversity in His children, right? He loves to see His children be who they are, as Pastor Rick said so many times, okay? So you have all these different kinds of gifts, the same Spirit, different kinds of service, different kinds of working, but it's all from God, the same God who works in all of them. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, in verse 7. For what good? The common good. Not my good. It's not make me feel better, right? It's for the common good for all, everybody in the body of Christ. It's what will edify, what will build you up, not what makes me look good, but what glorifies Jesus and helps you out. If I have a gift and I'm doing it in a selfish way, it doesn't help you out. It just helps me. But God wants us to use our gifts to help you. So that if I get a gift, I'm supposed to use it for others, not just, this is just my gift, and we hide it, and we put it away, and that's not what God says. No, He says, open it up, use it, so that others can be built up in the body of Christ. And just imagine if every single person in our church knew their spiritual gift, used their spiritual gift, was full of the Holy Spirit and on fire. Every single person. Wow. And that's what we strive for. That's what God strives for. So may God continue to bless us with His Spirit. Verse 8, now He goes through some of the different gifts, not all of them in this chapter. To one there is given through the Spirit and the message of wisdom. This is the word of wisdom. And then I'm going to say real quick, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Knowledge, or basically knowing what to do. Wisdom is knowing how to do it. That makes sense. Knowledge, you have the facts, you're aware. So this is what we need to do in this particular situation. They have a word of knowledge that this is what's going on, and this is what God says, whether it makes sense to the human mind or not. This is what God is saying, not actually here, but down here in our spirit. We just had a sense, okay, this is what God wants us to do now. And then wisdom, someone said, now how are we going to do that? And they had this real wonderful, enriching way of applying knowledge. That's what wisdom is, applying it. You've probably known professors that know everything about something, or a teacher that knows all about it, but they really don't have any common sense, right? Don't know how to use it. But when you have a teacher that's very wise and has been out in the world, it makes a whole difference. When I had one professor in college in business administration, when I got my major in that, who had been a vice principal for Exxon Corporation, and he would take us behind the scenes of different corporations. We'd do case studies. And we used to love that class because it was real stuff, not just theoretical. And what I'm using today are a lot of my notes from my doctoral program, but my doctoral program was not an academic degree. It was purposely called a degree in practical ministry. And everything we learned about this chapter and other things about spiritual gifts was to apply to the church and for every Christian. It wasn't like for pastors to be intellectually superior and have all this wonderful flowery knowledge. It was rather, how do we get God's people to be who God called them to be? So we got wisdom, we got knowledge. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now we all have faith, but this is talking about extraordinary faith. This is when Pastor Rick says, God, I want 200 people in my first Easter service. And how many did you... Actually, what did you ask for? What was the... 100. And what happened? Praise God. Or when maybe someone asked Pastor, can we afford it? Can we really step out in faith? Pastor Rick said, absolutely. Let's go for it. That's extraordinary faith. We all have faith, but some have this extraordinary faith that pushes the church to be more than it thinks it can be. It's like a good coach that brings out a champion more than they think they are, and always pushes them to be. Does that make sense? You don't sound very convinced. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Yes. It's early. I don't want to haul in too much turkey. I'll trip the thin man. All right. Anyway. Okay, so we have somebody who has faith. That's important when you're coming together, right? Someone steps out, says a church, well, we've never done it that way before. This person says, so, we got a God that's greater than anything else. God is specialized in the impossible. That's a very vital gift for a church. Someone who has that gift of faith has to speak up and do not be quiet if you have that gift of faith, because you can be a catalyst to the whole church. You can just be like this yeast, a little bit of yeast in that dough, and it rises. And a person who comes in with faith and exercises that faith, whether in worship or whatever, raises everyone else up in their faith. Right? So when you're around people, do you raise their faith or lower it when they're around you? Amen. Praise God, Veronica. All right. Okay, let's go on to the next one. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. This is not the faith healer who causes attention to himself and makes a big dramatic presentation of who he is and demands a limousine and a 5-star hotel to stay in and sells olive oil from Jerusalem for $100 and causes attention to himself. This is a person very humbly, without causing attention to themselves, has that gift to lay hands on people and they get healed. In a surprisingly high amount of incidences of people getting healed. Is it anything they do inside them? No, it's a gift of God that He gives to people as He determines. But He does look for people who are receptive. If they don't believe, they're not open, they're not going to get that gift, right? Church is not going to get that gift if they don't believe in it, right? So this is an important gift that we've seen here demonstrated over and over again. It's amazing. It's Sylvia and others and Dorothy that have been healed by cancer, and it's a gift that some people have, but we're all called to pray for healing. It's like faith. We all have faith. We all can heal by the grace of God, the power of God, but some have that supernatural gift that they just feel led to do that, and it's an amazing gift in the church. It used to be, I used to give talks on spiritual gifts before I really got into the Holy Spirit. And we would talk about some, and then we'd kind of push others aside, the faith healing and the speaking in tongues, because that wasn't, we don't talk about that. That's right here. So healing is a gift from God. To another, miraculous powers. I was taught in seminary, miracles stopped when the Bible stopped. When Revelation ended, that's when the gifts and miracles ended. Well, where do you find that in the Bible, right? I get really ticked off because the years I missed out because of living in this non-miraculous age that all happened the days of the Bible, but doesn't happen today. Oh, come on. It does. And some have this innate ability that when they pray, things happen. Like Sandy, when she prays, things happen. And it's not her. It's the gift of God flowing through Sandy. And when you're around her, you kind of feel like, wow, God can do the miraculous. And He does, right? He does. Thanks be to God that you use that gift, Sandy. You're not afraid. Oh, what would people think? They might think I'm weird if I step out in faith. You don't care, and you're obedient to God. Thanks be to God. To another, prophecy. Now, prophecy means two different things. It literally means just one who speaks for another. It can be like the prophets of the Old Testament who speak for God and have to confront people with their sin, and they're very they have this ability and this fire inside of them to confront evil and injustice and unrighteousness around them, and they have this supernatural boldness that comes over them, and they just feel compelled that they have to tell the truth. And we've got one here in our midst. He just feels this fire in his bones and in his hair and his heart that the truth needs to be proclaimed, and you can feel this mighty wind and mighty fire coming through him because that's his gift. It also can mean someone who gives a specific word to a specific person about a specific thing, and they just have this sense that God says, you know, I feel like God wants me to tell this to you, and they're open to the Lord. I had someone Thanksgiving Eve, I was just sitting there going through the service, and they said, God just told me I'm supposed to pray with you. Okay. And it seemed like it put me in a whole different gear for the Thanksgiving Eve service because I'd had been delivering turkeys all day and having kids taken out of their home, and it was hard to come from as I went through the doors. I still hadn't shifted gears getting ready for church, and that prayer just like, boom, set me in a whole other level for a great service that we had, that Pastor Rick had this awesome service, and it just helped. So we need to be obedient to that voice, that still small voice that says, go ahead and talk to this person, pray for them, and if you really do this, it's exciting. If you don't have never done this, you think, okay, when's he done with this lecture? But if you are in the game, participating in this, it is so exciting, and it just makes life a whole lot more fun to see what's God going to do now, you know? And it's an adventure. It's not some boring religious talk. It's just whole different. Okay, so let's go on. We've got, the prophecy. I wanted to talk a little bit about that because some people have used this too. And they say, well, God told me to say this to you. And they say it in a very judgmental, holier-than-thou, righteous kind of thing. And that turns people off. They hear it, watch it on TV, and they go, oh, I don't want to be like that. But in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about that a person has this gift, they either do it for the strengthening and building up of people. So it's always for building up people, not saying, God told me you shouldn't date this person, and God said this is what's wrong in your life. Now, there is a place for that, but generally, someone has the gift of prophecy. It's to build people up, not tear them down, in this sense of the word of prophecy. And they also have to square it with God's word. If it goes against God's word and says, and someone says, well, God says it's okay for you to leave your wife and marry someone else because they're younger, that's not according to God's word. And I don't care how many people say, well, God told me this. Well, you're listening to the... That's not God who's talking to you, right? There's different ways to test it, of other having other people, godly counsel. Check with them. Does that make sense to you? Check with your own spirit. Check with God's word. Check with other Christians. Because we can get deceived really easily. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't let this gift be used. Again, churches go, well, because people have been deceived by this, no one can do this. Well, there are guidelines to do it within the right way according to God's word. And I've got all kinds of notes, but don't have the time really to kind of go through all that of checks and balances of making sure. But the thing is for us to be still and quiet and listen to God. And He does speak when we're quiet, when our minds and our tongues are stopped, and we let Him speak to our soul, and we can pick up on what God's saying and ask Him, okay, is this from you, God? And then proceed to talk to this person or to minister to this person. Okay, there's a lot more I can say about that, but time does not allow. To another, it says, distinguishing between spirits. This is also really important in the church. In a council meeting or a group of people are talking about what to do, you got the person with the gift of faith, you got the person with the gift of leadership and administration, so you got all these gifts going. You have someone who's very organized, someone who has a gift of leadership, someone that says, let's go forward. But then the person who has discernment is very important, because suppose you're thinking about calling or hiring someone in the church. This is vital to have someone that kind of checks everything, checks the airwaves, and just has a sense, that doesn't feel right in my gut. I mean, everything else seems to match, and the church needs to listen to that person, or boy, do we pay for it. I know I have in the past. If I didn't listen to that person, had discernment in the church, and we just said, oh, this is what council decided, and we're going to move on, because this is it, or this is what the council of district says to do, that discernment, you can pay for years and years to undo what happens if you don't listen to that person with discernment. And a lot of times they're very quiet, and they're not real vocal and loud. And sometimes people can be swayed or be influenced by the loud talker, that somebody has a more extroverted personality, and kind of push that person to the side who has this quiet, wise discernment, and it's important to listen to them, like a Hazel or a Christine, who have this sense of discernment, and they understand. It's really important. So thanks be to God to those who use that gift of distinguishing and discerning. To another, it says, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still know the interpretation of tongues. Tongues is a different language that a person will be so filled with the Holy Spirit they don't have to engage their mind, and this language comes over them, and it builds up their spirit, it builds up their faith, and also can help others. We had a case in point that happened a couple weeks ago with Seal. She went to our Spanish service, and we had Sandy there, myself there, and we're singing all these, obviously, Spanish songs. It's a Spanish service, right? And Seal was off to the side. And there was a guy over here, over to the side, who was standing up and singing. And we're singing all these Spanish songs. And Seal hears English. Somebody's interpreting. She assumes that the inmate standing next to her, and he's not talking, right, Seal? So you heard these words from inside you, right? Telling you what we were singing. I was amazed when she said, what? I go, really? And that's what God does. He gave her an interpretation so she could be in on the great joy we're having and know what we're singing about. I mean, I was just amazed. I was like, wow. I also heard someone who had this gift of speaking and started just speaking out loud. God told him to speak out loud, and usually you don't do that unless you have somebody as interpreter. And it turned out he was speaking Arabic to somebody who had just come to our country that only knew Arabic and had a message for that person in Arabic, that God was telling that person about Christ and the Holy Spirit. And this, can you imagine how that guy from Arabia or from Middle East felt? Like, what? Do you know Arabic? No, I've never studied. Well, you just said it perfectly to me. So that's exciting when you see this happen in church. It kind of blows your mind. You say, wow, when you really see this, that this stuff's real, it just makes it a whole more exciting. Others have dreams. And Liz, we've talked about that, where Liz will get this supernatural dream or sense that this is what we need to know, and she'll let the pastors know. And then we know how to pray about something, and it's so neat to get a head knowledge, be ahead of the game. It's like God says, okay, here's what Satan's trying to do. I'm going to tell Liz this in the middle of the night in a dream, and she's going to warn the pastors, and we're going to thwart the devil. We're going to stop Satan. And so God has his strategies, his schemes, to go against the evil one. And when all these gifts are in operation, it's just amazing how it makes a big difference. Well, Paul then continues, verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. Because what do the Corinthians do about everything? They become prideful. They say, well, I got this gift. They were bragging about their gifts, bragging about the guy who committed incest, getting drunk at communion. Every good gift God gave, they would mess it up, right? And so now they're bragging about, who am I? It's not about who I am. So Paul reminds them it's all from the same Spirit, the same God. It's all the working of Him. And He gives them to each one, notice this, just as who He determines. Who decides what gifts you have? God does. You don't decide. You don't get a gift from God and say, oh, I was hoping for something bigger maybe than this little thing. You know, how do you think the giver would feel if you say, here, can you go back to go shopping for me again? God says, this is especially for you. Your name's on it, and it's been specially designed, and I've spent a lot of time on this for you, and it's not just something off the rack or re-gifting. It's just for you only, as I want, because I see the whole picture and I really know you. And when that happens, good things happen. So, the question is, what's in your box? What's in your gift box? Have you even thought about this? What are your gifts? How are you wired? And what does God want for you to do in 2015? I really felt this strongly. I kept writing the wrong year yesterday, and I had about seven different things to write, and I kept writing 2015 because it was in my spirit. Starting Thanksgiving Eve, start thinking about the new year, what I'm going to do in the new year. God kept saying that, so I kept writing 2015 and have to scratch that out because it was about things for this year. But what is God trying to say to us for this new year, and what kind of gift does He want to have? In closing, it all comes from the Holy Spirit. And Dorothy gave me this gift when I celebrated my 30th anniversary in the ministry. I love this stained glass. Isn't that beautiful? It's just gorgeous. The green you've got from the Holy Spirit, the dove coming down. And there are different words for the Holy Spirit, what He does. One is, it talks about Him lighting upon us. Just the other day, I was at a stoplight on downtown. I was delivering all these turkeys for my families, and I had my sunroof open. And here's this huge blackbird that comes flying down. He thinks this is glass, right? And he's coming down, and I go, oh, no. And he doesn't realize there's not glass there, and he starts almost coming to my car. I go, oh, great. I'm just imagining the birds from Alfred Hitchcock. I go, oh, this bird's going to be in here in my car. He's going to want out, and he doesn't want in. I don't want him in. It's going to be one big mess. And he started flying down, and our eyes met. I go, oh, no. And then, fortunately, he realized that this is not where I want to be, and I'm going, you don't want to be here, and he took off. But he's just about ready to light right on me. I thought, this could be no fun. Well, when the Holy Spirit comes, when He lights upon us, it's with blessings and gifts. We don't have to be afraid of what He's going to do to us. And so when He comes down into our lives, He brings all these blessings and all this color, and thanks be to God. So be open to the Holy Spirit when He lights upon you and fills you for what He wants to give you. And we pray that God, and let's just do that right now, that God opens up our hearts for His gifts and to Him. And we pray, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Help us, Lord, to know more about your gifts, that yes, we have the fruit of love, joy, and peace, and all the fruit. And in addition to the fruit, we have the gifts that we've just talked about, Lord. Open up our hearts to more of you, to make our Christian life more, even more exciting and an adventure, that we're on an adventure for you, Lord, to conquer this land for your kingdom, that where we go, we establish your kingdom, and we do that through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the different ministries that you call us to do, and the different workings and energy you give us, and different levels, to carry this out into the world, Lord. So this Christmas season, help us to also think about the invisible spiritual gifts that you give each one of us. Help us to be thankful for you, Lord, and for what you're doing in us. And may we have more of you in our lives in 2015. Lord, in your mercy. And we thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. We thank you for the gifts here at Amazing Grace and the freedom for us to have the balance to enjoy your gifts as well as many other blessings in your church and from your hand of bounty. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.